accession number 22927, Reel 1.
John Carney, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Liverpool.
Which year was this?
In 1920.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Liverpool?
Yes.
Whereabouts did you go to school?
I went to a Catholic school, St. Sylvester's.
Whereabouts in Liverpool?
It was in Scotland Road. It was in the town itself.
How old were you when you finished school?
14.
How did you come to join the army?
I'm not sure how I can explain it. I was working, and one dinner time, I went for a walk into the city, and I walked up London Road, me and my friend, his name Tommy Carpenter, and we got into London Road, and there was a soldier dressed in red jacket, blue, and a very smart soldier he was. And we stopped and we asked him what he was, and he said he was the local recruiting sergeant. And he belonged to the Irish Guards. And he was telling us all about what the army was like and everything, you know, and I was interested. And I said, could we go into the Guards? And he said to us, why go into the Guards? Why not go into your own city regiment? And I said, well, I didn't know that we had one, had a regiment, being that age. So he was a bit surprised, but straight away he put me wise. And he went right back to the 1700s when the King of Liverpool was fought in Canada and all over the place and everything, you know. And he must have saw I was interested, and he said, well, he said, give it a thought. So he took me into the office, and then he asked me usual questions, where I worked and everything, and when I was born, and I told him, 4th of July 1920. So he said, well, he said, from now on, he said, if you're still interested, he said, you were born in 1918. I said, was I? He said, yes. Anyway, he got me to sign all the papers and everything, because I was really interested, the way he described it. And we went in front of the officer, and he asked me all the questions, what was on the enrollment form. And I explained everything, what I'd done, and what I'd done from the time I'd left school to work and everything. And then he said, when you were born, and then a little voice whispered in my ear, 4th of July 1918. So the officer said, I'll ask you again when you were born. It was so, I can remember this day, you know, and even then I had to think, and I agreed. I said, right, 4th of July 1918. He said, right, sign here. I signed the papers, and he gave me 4 shillings. That's the old money, you know. A shilling from the king, and three shillings to get me to the depot. And the depot was at Liverpool, in a place called Seaforth. And that was our barracks. And I had to report there the next day. I had a big argument at home when my mum and brother came home, and, you know. But I said, well, I've signed, and that's it.
Did they disapprove of you going into the army?
No. Never, no approval from anyone. Because they must have taught, the officer must have taught me at my word that I was 18. I was 16. No, I was 18.
But did your family think that you shouldn't have joined?
Oh, yes. My mum, because my dad was in the Royal Navy, and she was more concerned at the fact that I was going to join an army instead of the Navy. But anyway, I went to this... went to this depot, and I stayed there for, it took us six weeks training.
How did you get on with that?
Very good. I took to straight away, but The friend who came with me, Tommy Carpenter, his father came down a couple of days after that, and he actually took him out. And I had to go in front of the CO again, and the CO asked me, I'm asking you, what was your date of birth? And I had to tell him again. And he knew, but that was it.
Had your friend given the wrong date of birth as well?
I'm not sure, but he must have done, because he was more or less the same as me. But and then I stayed there, and I really took to it.
What did you like about it?
Well, the fact that, you know, they're all young chaps, same as me, and what we were doing, we felt that they were doing something to us, or making us do something, which is going to make us better than what we were, because let's face it, Liverpool was not exactly a city of milk and honey. You really had to fight for yourself, kind of thing. And so this is one of the reasons why I said I'm going to stick this, because I like it.
How were you treated at Seaforth Depot?
Very, very, very strict. Very, very strict they were, but it was nothing that we couldn't take, if you get what I mean. There was nothing, you know. It was all strange to get everybody shouting and screaming at you. I don't know whether it was brainwashing or what. You don't really know, but I just thoroughly enjoyed it, you know.
And after Seaforth, what happened then?
Yeah, what we did then, you got posted to our battalion, and the second battalion, King's Liverpool, was stationed down in Plymouth. And I went down to Plymouth in, what time was it now? About April 36.
What happened to you in Plymouth?
And believe it or not, when I was down to Plymouth, all the recruits got sorted out into various companies. And to this day, I don't know whether the bloke was the officer was being funny, but I got put into the horse transport section. It was not exactly what you have in Liverpool, horses. But that was all right. In the horse transport, we used to look after the officers' charges, and they had horses to tow all the cooking limbers and stuff like that. And then I stuck that for quite a while, you know, and we used to do all our manoeuvres at them days on all the shot, on the round Tidworth and all the shot planes and stuff like that, you know, using the horses. And towards the end of the year, they transferred me from there, and I got put into the driving section, because they said, you know, you'd add horses in the horse transport section, and the battalions were getting vehicles then. So this was in 1936, when the army was changing round, and they taught me how to drive a motor, 36, and then I got transferred them, and they put me into the Vickers machine gun section, the heavy weapons company, and I stayed in there, and then I got. We stayed in there for 37, and then the whole battalion, the second battalion, went to Gibraltar as a part of our posting to Gibraltar.
Which did you prefer, the heavy weapons company or the horse transport?
Heavy weapons, the heavy weapons, you know.
Why was that?
Well, the way I looked at it, I was looking after a horse, and I wasn't really doing any soldiering, if you see my point. But once I got on the heavy weapons with the machine guns, then I first realised I became a part of a soldier, what a soldier did. And then the whole battalion, we went out to Gibraltar, because at that time, Gibraltar was all part of the Southern Command. and before the war, all the whole area which was the headquarters with that was all the shot, and that covered Gibraltar. So one of our old colonels, or one of the big knobs in the Kings, before they retire, they can have a battalion serve under them the last few weeks of their service. And his name was Lieutenant Colonel Carrington, I think it was. And he got the 2nd Battalion out to Gib. And when we went to Gibraltar, the Spanish War was on. And so that was a little bit of extra excitement.
Did that affect you in Gibraltar at all?
Oh, yes, because we had to man everything. All the battalions on Gibraltar, we had the Black Watch, the Somerset Light Infantry, and the artillery and everything. And we were on a semi-permanent standby all the time. And the Northwest Front, the frontier of Gibraltar, we manned that as a what's the name? As a guard place, if anything. Because just over the hills, just outside of La Linea, you could see, they actually see the German planes going off and doing their bombing. I'm not quite sure who they supported, actually. I think they supported Franco. And they were, you know. And then they, now and again, you'd see, because in the main roads itself, the sea, the main roads where all the ships were, you could see the firing going on and things like that. Like, and there's a one like with there's a Spanish battleship, the Canaris, that came in and chased up a destroyer, and the destroyer was pulling into Gib, and we had to man everything because we didn't know if it was something that the Spanish were trying to do. So we manned all the commercial mole, and this ship was called the San Joseph de Rey. That's a name that you never forget, because they had to, what they had to do, when it came within the power in our area, the firing stopped, and it came into the harbour and was tied along the commercial road, and we had to supply the guards for it. They were all in turn, and we had to supply, what's the name? It was allowed so many days in Gib to effect repairs, and then it had to go. And then on the, after a while, when the dockyard people, they repaired it and everything, and they tried to get out, and then they were all waiting for it outside, and that was one of the incidents that we were embroiled in. So it wasn't just a Gibraltar at the time wasn't a holiday place, so it was that.
Did you see anything of the crew of the Saint Joseph del Rey?
I've got photographs somewhere of the actual ship. I can look them out for if you want them.
But did you meet the crew?
Oh yeah, couldn't understand them because they're Spanish. But they on Gibraltar, you see, the Gibraltarians are Spanish descent, but British is, say, well, anybody is. So that's how they feel. And we had a what's her name, and we had to keep them in an internment camp. But we had to supply guards so they couldn't be armed by anybody, and that was it. So they couldn't do any harm. And eventually, they once they had the repairs, they left the harbour. But at the same time as he did, someone signalled from the rock, because we were getting told all this, see. And outside, we didn't see the actual battle, but you could, in the distance, you could hear all the gunfire going on. So we never knew what exactly happened to that ship, you know.
What were living conditions like for you in Gibraltar?
Well, we were quite. We were in South Barracks, which is up on the hill, and they were very, very old barracks, very old. But they were comfortable, just like an ordinary barracks. You know, you'd get a barrack room with about 20 men, an NCO. Each had their own beds, their own lockers, stuff like that, you know. We even had the back of us married quarters for the married people who of the regiments, you know, of the battalion. And the officers had their own quarters. And we had detachments in Casemates Barracks, Moorish Castle, and South Barracks, which was the main battalion area, you know. And then further up the hill was the Somerset Light Infantry and the Royal Artillery Europa Point. In fact, the whole rock itself was guarded by somebody because, you know, and every what's the name, every battalion on there used to do a 6 weeks tour of duty when you did all the garrison duties. You manned all the various places, armories and stuff like that. As well as a ceremonial one. And that's when I was picked for the ceremony of the keys during the 6 weeks. And the RSM, he picked us because he had a photograph. There's a ceremony in London. I don't know whether it was for King George V. But we had to line the streets for some ceremony before the war. In 36, 37. I think it's George V.
Well, I think the coronation of George VI was in 1937, wasn't it?
It was something like that.
George V died.
George V died. Mm. It must have been that it was. And we lined the route by the Marble Arch. Each battalion supplied 50 soldiers. And they give us this red uniform, a red coat, and blue uniform, and I always wanted them the same as the recruiting sergeant. And the RSM took the guard from that, what's the name, as you can see in the photo.
He selected you from the photograph?
He selected us from the photographs, and then we had intensive drilling, because you had to march the full length of the town, and that the whole battalion had the band and drums, and then this chap carrying the keys, and then we were the escorting guard.
Did you like serving in Gibraltar?
Oh yeah, it was great. It was very, it was good really, because we had facilities to, we could go across the Tangiers if we wanted to, every Sunday, just across the water.
Did you go?
Oh yeah, we saw a little ferry boat called the Gibraldursa. Used to take across the Tangiers on a Sunday trip.
What did you do there?
Well, I just walk around the town and the usual things soldiers do, kind of thing, you know. But it's very good. That was one of our places where we could go. You could go into La Linea with special permission, but none of the ordinary troops would go in there because it was dangerous, really. You never know what was going to happen, you know, and because at that time they were trying to recruit for the ones who were fighting Franco, and they came round. They used to offer blokes in our regiment so much money to go over and fight for them. What do you call it now? They had a British contingent there,
The International Brigade.
International Brigade, and they were trying to recruit in Gibraltar all the time. And we had one or two of our fellows went, but what happened? We don't know.
Did you serve in Gibraltar long?
Yeah, well, because I say, then the war started, and we were mobilised, and we had to man all our machine gun positions. Now, what I had mentioned, before the war started, every soldier on Gibraltar had to help in the creation of the way it is now. The inside of the rock was actually scooped out, and they made hospitals, accommodation, and gun emplacements all the way around the rock on the second second level up. And all the stuff itself, what we got out, all the rocks and stuff like that, we utilised that for build the aerodrome. So that airstrip in Gibraltar now, the battalions up to the start of the war, we'd actually started that.
So you were doing labouring work?
We were doing labouring. We were doing, as well as doing the ordinary, say, guards and drills and what's that, but they was concentrating mainly on doing these. And by the time we finished, when the war started, we had to man them positions inside the rock.
What you said, there was this attempt to recruit soldiers to the international brigades.
Yeah.
Who was doing that?
Just ordinary civilians. If you're in a pub, Trocadero was the name of a pub, another place, Universal, another place. And they'd come in and they'd chat here and try and get you to go over, you know, but...
Was this in Gibraltar or...?
It's in Gibraltar. This was actually in Gibraltar. But not, as I say, we did hear that a few went, but nothing. Just one of them things, you know.
What nationality were the people who were doing the recruiting?
Well, a lot of them, believe it or not, were British. Because part of the international force was a lot of made up of Britain. A lot of them came from Liverpool as well.
Did you talk to any of them who were trying to recruit for the international brigades?
No. We were quite content with what we did, you know. And as I say, the war started to progress, and by that time I was a corporal then. I was just waiting for my third stripe. And what happened, they made a contingent of all of NCOs from Kings and the Black Watch and what's name, and they took us home to the various depots, and I came home to a place called Formby, which is just outside Liverpool, which was the main training area for the call-ups at that time. So that would be in 41.
Had the war affected you by now?
Sorry?
Had the war affected you in any way by now?
Oh, yes, because when we were in Gibraltar, the French fleet was based at a place called Dakar, and Churchill gave an ultimatum for them to pack in and come on the Allies' side, and they refused. And the fleet came from Gibraltar. It was full of big battleships and whatever, sailed from Gibraltar down to Dakar and shelled the French fleet at the time. And a couple of days after that, we were manning our position, and so these planes came in, and we thought everything was all right because they had red, white, and blue on the wings and everything. And suddenly they started to attack us. They were the French Air Force was stationed around Lake Chad and Dakar and places like that. And it caught us napping until we had to really engage them. And I think they were twin engine bombers. They were Marylands.
Did they do any damage?
Yeah, they did a bit of damage because everyone was caught by surprise, you know.
What damage did they do?
Well, it couldn't be as specific. It's just a matter of, everything was quiet and kept quiet about it, really, because, you know, and don't forget, we were stationed inside the rock at the time, so we couldn't really, we actually engaged them from where we were with our machine guns. We fired, just whether it was any good or not, we had to engage them, so that was it.
Were any of the planes shot down, do you think?
Yeah, one or two shot down. Not necessarily by us, because don't forget the whole fleet was firing. He had destroyers there, and Arkroyal and all that. Arkroyal was stationed there then. And everyone was blazing away merrily. And then
What were you doing at the time?
Well, I was in charge of a machine gun section, and I was just directing it. I was directing my guns to fire at them, you know.
What kind of machine guns?
I had Vickers machine guns and Bren guns as well. And that was only big incident. And then later on, we had a first big scare. Well, not a scare, actually, but the Italians had sent these two-man submarines into the harbour. And one of they must have got 200 a boom or something, because next minute they popped up inside the harbour. And we were up on the rock. We only were told what was happening, and then the Italians got to be taken prisoner and everything. But it was a two-man submarine thing.
Did you see it?
No, we never saw it. But in the local paper, it showed that we saw the actual paper itself and it coming up out the water. But, and that was about the only thing that we could say what happened after that. But because Gibraltar was the main staging post base for all the convoys going to Malta. And so the ship, you couldn't see the harbour for the ships, if you get what I mean. There were so many ships in Gibraltar, you know. Yeah. And then, as I say, I'd come home then. I'd come home in 41, 42. And I'd helped to train 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds. It was one of the call-ups anyway, one of the big squads. And
this is at Formby?
At Formby. And I was a sergeant then. And I should instruct the new recruits, I should instruct them on Vickers machine guns, how to drive Bren gun carriers, and make them into a squad.
How did you treat the new recruits?
Well, it was very good, really, because they were just like anybody else, and the strange world to them, and we had advances. We'd volunteered for anything, but that was it. They were called up, so I think the feeling at the time was everyone who was part of our training wanted to do it, because at that time in the country the morale was a bit low, you know. And then what happened? Churchill had decided that he wanted to take the fight to the Germans. And he formed this formed the commandos, and what they did, they sent out officers all over the area to recruit. Each commanding officer was of a commando had to do his own recruiting, and the officers came to us and explained what would it be. We'd be actually going on all kinds of jobs and stuff like that, but we weren't going to be sitting still. So they said, are you interested? And I said, yeah. So anyway, they said, well, you'd have to lose your stripes to become a commando. So I said, that's no problem. So we got sent up to Atnacarry up in Scotland, and there we were fully trained.
Before you go any further, when you came back to England,
yeah,
were you in any bombing by the German Air Force?
No, this was after the Blitz on Liverpool was in May
41,
42. I was
Were you still in Gibraltar by then?
No. We came home. We came home when the Blitz was on. Because my home was bombed. A landmine dropped in the whole street.
What was your address?
I lived in Q Street. That was the same area that like where I was more at the same area where I was born.
K-E-W.
And we had a place, Gilder's Gardens. And that the whole street was all smashed. And then when I came home from leave, I said, my family had gone to another place, Bostock Street, which is not far from there. And I say, then I'd...
Did the destruction of your home happen whilst you were still in Gibraltar or when you were at Crosby, at Formby?
Now, let me see now.